I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world from the arcane to the mundane and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together.
Hello, and welcome to the 12th House Plus. I'm Michelle Pelazon Lipsitz, and I am delighted that you're here. If you're a brand new subscriber, welcome. We're so excited to have you. The 12th House Plus is our paid VIP content behind a paywall. And every month we put out two extra episodes of the 12th House. One episode is a green room episode where honestly we just shoot the shit. Sometimes I have friends on. Sometimes it's just me talking about things I probably shouldn't talk about in public, but I'm doing it anyways. And our second episode of every month is our audio course. So hello, we are in the audio course section of this month, and I'm really excited for today's topic of conversation because it is near and dear to my heart, and it's something that's been coming up a lot. So I do one-on-one work. I started bringing back in one-on-one consulting after I had Rhodes because I was just really craving smaller containers and talking to people individually, and it's been so fun, and I'm really lucky that I've gotten to work with the most amazing clients ever. We work over a one-month period at a time, like ad hoc, month to month. And we meet every week and we work on whatever it is their objective is, their main objective is. And so often, what I notice about my clients that I'm working with is that they are really craving a research container or a container for the things that they're most interested in. And they've maybe accidentally tried to create a business around it or created a business around it, or they want to create a business around the thing that they're interested in, or they think they do. Or they're even like, should I go write a book on this thing? Should I like try to sell a book on this? Should I go to grad school? What should I do with this driving curiosity that I have inside of me, that this unquenchable thirst for knowledge? And I'm like, yeah, bestie, I get it. Deeply understand. I feel like I've, for the last maybe, I don't know, 8 years been like, should I go back to school? Which graduate program or doctorate degree should I get? And I even posted this on Threads the other day. Do you want to go to grad school or do you just want a container for the things that you're interested in researching? And I feel as if it resonated with a lot of people. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. And what I'm not going to do in this episode is punch down on grad school, because I actually think that graduate programs are amazing for the most part. And if you want to go back to grad school, you totally should. I think that, again, if I could get paid to just study like all the things that I'm interested in studying, which I know you can if you're getting a PhD. But it has to be, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of red tape. If I could get paid to study whatever I want in my own little weird way, then I would totally be a professional student for the rest of my life. I am a lifelong learner forever and ever. I think that that's my primary core identity is just lifelong learner. It's probably my 9 in my matrix of destiny. But that's all to say that I think that grad school is awesome and it's not always realistic. In fact, it's rarely realistic for a lot of people. There are unbelievable costs associated with grad school. And there's not always the payoff that we're hoping for, both like from a financial material perspective. If you go to grad school or get a postdoc degree or not, postgrad degree, excuse me, you're not necessarily going to see a bump in your income, especially if you're going to school for anything other than becoming like a lawyer or a doctor, like a medical doctor, or I guess like research scientist. But even then, I don't really know. Do PhDs in physics make a lot of money? I don't know. I guess it depends on what you decide to do with it. So there's not always the promise of material, like exponential material wealth that comes with the hefty investment of going to grad school, which can put you in loads of debt. And debt is not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be something that sort of hangs over us emotionally if we haven't really worked through some money stuff, or just like being really real. If you have to pay student loans every single month on top of your car payment and your rent and the other things that you need to pay for, and you're just accruing interest on your student loans, that is really stressful. And I know that would definitely impact me personally in the way that I decide to spend my time and how I want to earn money. And it would be inhibiting to me personally. It may not be inhibiting to you. So grad school, also, there are other parameters that maybe don't work for us. Maybe we don't want to go be in an academic institution because academia is pretty fucked up. I don't think that anyone would disagree with that. There are a lot of hoops that you have to jump through and red tape that you have to cut through or work around in order to get what you want. And of course, you're not guaranteed that if you go to grad school, you're going to have a great experience, that you're going to meet mentors who who you appreciate. You are not guaranteed that you're going to be able to get everything out of that experience, especially if you're paying for it. If you have to work full time, or if you have to take care of a kid, or you have to be a caretaker to someone else when you're in that moment, or if you have to work, you have to make money. It might feel more stressful than it is useful and generative. And if what you're really craving about something like grad school is a space to deeply research and to dive into your curiosities, then I would just ask you to ask yourself if grad school is absolutely necessary, because you can absolutely create a research agenda for yourself and an accountability container for yourself to go after and study and truly research the things that you're interested in. So some questions that I have for myself whenever I'm like, should I go to grad school or should I just make a container for what I'm interested in? I ask myself first, do I need other people's approval in order to make waves or ripples in this space? And that just means if I want to be a change maker in this thing that I'm interested in, let's say it's arts education. Okay. If I want to be someone who is an authority, and by that, I just mean someone who's considered an expert or has some sort of contribution to give to this space. If I want to be considered that, then like, what's necessary? Do I need to have a degree from Harvard? Do I need to be someone who's an arts educator who's teaching in schools, any type of school? Do I need to be someone who's an administrator? Can I just be someone who's a researcher or an archivist or someone who's connected? Do I have to have a mentor? So just some questions that I would ask myself. Or do I really need to like, quote unquote, make a difference in this industry? Can I just share what my thoughts are? And will that be enough? Can I build a content platform around what I'm curious about? And will that make me enough of an expert? Or will it give me enough clout to share my opinion? Maybe not. It just depends. Depends on what you're interested in. And if that is your eventual goal. And maybe when I really sit down with myself and I'm like, okay, I want to research this thing, or I'm curious about this thing. I don't really necessarily want to be like a policymaker. I don't really need to be in an academic institution to contribute. Really, like, I'm maybe researching this for myself because it's interesting, maybe, and because I think it will add value to the way that I see the world, or just round out the way that I see the world. Or maybe I'm just interested in this concept and I don't necessarily want to be like the best of the best or changing the world with it. I just want to do it more. I want to get to know it better. I want to get some mastery in it for myself because that's really satisfying to me. And more often than not, that's how I feel. I feel satisfied with some level of mastery or understanding and a depth of understanding, or let's say physical mastery if it's some sort of like habit or practice. And that is more for me than it is for anyone else. It's because I want to be able to say that I can do it. You might also want to ask yourself if you have some sort of hobby or idea or concept that you're researching, do you actually want to start a business around this? Or is it that you just want an opportunity to go deeper on this thing? So often what I see with people who are squiggly brained or neurodivergent or who have been called flighty or flaky at some point in their lives because they have lots and lots of interests, I notice that they tend to take the things that they're interested in and try to make a product or a service out of them. And I think that we can probably draw a straight line between being called flaky and trying to create like accountability for ourselves. And it's much easier, I think, in our minds to say, oh, if I start a business, then that is built in accountability for, let's say, this habit that I have. Like I'm going to start crocheting, okay? So I get all the crochet stuff. I'm like, I'm going to make a blanket. Cool. Great. So I start crocheting a blanket and I do one. Okay, that wasn't that good because I just started. So I'm going to keep practicing. And maybe my sort of like dopamine levels of novelty begin to drop and my norepinephrine, because there are not very high stakes, right? It's just a hobby, is also dropping. And my sort of will to continue doing this has dropped down for whatever reason, because my brain is no longer balanced with novelty and norepinephrine. So I need to raise the stakes in one way or another. I need to either raise the stakes of novelty or I need to raise the stakes of norepinephrine. I'm not doing this consciously. This is unconsciously what I'm doing because my little unconscious mind or my conscious mind is saying, ugh, I don't want to be the person who drops that. I don't want to drop a hobby again. I don't want to be that person who spent $100 on supplies at Michael's and then leaves them to rot in the garage for the next 3 years. I don't like it when I do that because people have told me that means that I'm flaky and that I'm a whatever bad person or that I'm stupid or whatever you think that it means about you, that it doesn't actually mean. You get the drift. So that's what my conscious mind is saying. My unconscious mind, or my sort of my little ADHD brain, is looking for novelty, and it's looking for norepinephrine to raise the stakes to help me stay focused on this topic. So adding dopamine might look like I'm going to go buy some more expensive yarn because the really expensive yarn is really beautiful, or I'm going to learn this different blanket pattern. Okay, so I'm going to, as I do that, I'm going to probably going to get better and better at this thing. And then I eventually, that novelty will, you know, wash away and I'll be left with, okay, I need something more. So I'm going to raise the stakes by upping my norepinephrine as your fear response and anxiety. And so I'm adding pressure. And what we tend to do is add pressure by adding accountability. And we add accountability in the highest way possible because ADHD brains never go to like the easy average middle. They always go to the extremes. So instead of saying, oh, I'm just going to share about this on the internet with my friends, which would be accountability, or I'm going to tell my partner that I want to, every time we watch TV, I want to work on my crochet blanket and I'm going to ask them to help me. That would be out of the question for our ADHD brains. We have to go all the way to an 11 and say, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to make crocheted blankets. And that's a great idea because I'll make these blankets. I'll sell them on Etsy. It'll be super easy. I'll just settle up a little thing on Etsy. And then I'll basically make enough money to cover the habit of buying my yarn. And of course, we know that's not actually what ends up happening. We set up the Etsy and then we spend 6 hours setting up a website and a Shopify and a separate Instagram. And all of a sudden, we either have this gigantic new business that we've created that we have to keep up because we've started to sell stuff because you're probably pretty good at the thing that you have tried doing because that's the type of person that you are. And now we have people that we're accountable to. And slowly but surely, that joy and pleasure and the, honestly, like the interesting thing that we excavate from research projects, that begins to wear down. And what's left is the sort of like hustle and the business, the making this a business thing, the capitalism in our hobbies and the things that we like and that we initially started because not because we wanted to start a business out of them, but because we wanted to learn something about them for ourselves. And that gets washed away, or we get caught up in the starting of the business or the keeping up of the business or the shame of not keeping up the business, and we lose the whole plot. Now, that might not be what you're going through right now, but I think that it happens quite a bit. And I think that honestly, the solution is just knowing how to create a research plan because yeah, sometimes you do want to start a business around the thing that you really care about. Hello, you're preaching to the choir here. But sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just want to go deep on a concept for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. You want to learn it for yourself because you appreciate that and you enjoy that. And that's it. You don't have to make a big business out of it. You don't have to go get a degree on it and spend the next 7 years of your life studying it. You don't even have to like necessarily talk about it with a lot of other people. You can if you want to. But I think that there's something really satisfying about creating these projects for ourselves. There's this great Paul Graham essay called A Project of One's Own, and it talks about how projects are like the lifeblood. They're of honestly like interest and enthusiasm in life. And having our own projects is so satisfying. And that's often why having a business is really satisfying because it's a project. But we don't need to have these incredibly high stakes in order to get a lot of joy and pleasure out of the how we spend our time. We can have small projects that we work on. We talk about this in System Spells, and we're actually redoing a little bit of System Spells because I've learned a lot in like the past 4 years of teaching this about projects and how they work for squiggly brained people. And we're adding in these project plans and research agendas into System Spells, which is going to be so fun. It's coming up soon. But that's all to say that a research agenda is the beginning of a project, or it's a step in a project. And how do we like discern what a project is, something is, that we'd like to research versus, I don't know, just like a hobby? Okay, that was a preview of the 12th House Plus content. Just a little sneaky snack. If you like that, if you want more, if you want to hear the whole story, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify Podcasts at the very top of the page where you would subscribe in general for the podcast. It's $5.99 a month, and we'd love to have you.